Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Longtime football guru Russell Baxter joining me on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing tonight, Russell?
I'm great, Sean. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to refer to you as Peter Rabbit or whatever. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to you, well, Russell. Hey, Russell, I want to start with this kind of quarterback carousel we had going on at, you know, these tier two and tier three kind of guys who have all changed teams, gotten a lot of big paychecks. And just starting with Kirk Cousins, in your mind, does Kirk Cousins make Minnesota the favorite in the NFC heading into next year?
Well, you know, I'm always a big, you know, champions until dethroned type of guy. We saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback and some other key personnel not there as well. So I still have to rate them a favorite. But, you know, I will say this about Minnesota, and I'll say this about Kirk Cousins. The two things that he never really had in Washington, Sean, was a reliable running game and a respectable defense. And now he has more than that with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings were vastly improved running the football last year, seventh in the league. Defensively, you know, it kind of speaks for themselves. I know they had a rough outing against the Eagles in the NFC title game. But, you know, if they're not the favorite, I think they've kind of emerged into number two because they're about as well-balanced a team as there is in the league. And, that, you know, face it, that's why the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year. They were very well-balanced offensively and defensively.
I think it's interesting that Minnesota, they signed Kirk Cousins, and yet all three of the quarterbacks that they had on their team last year, and Bridgewater, we'll wait and see if he wins that starting job in New York, but all three of them possibly are going to be starters in the NFL this coming season. Specifically, I want to ask you about Case Keenum. How do you think Case Keenum fits in Denver, and do you see the Broncos still in the mix for a quarterback with the fifth pick overall?
Well, I think yes, because I think Case Keenum, you know, as good a year as he had last year, honestly, Sean, is kind of a stopgap guy. You know, I'm not holding what happened to him in the NFC title game against him, but he's been a journeyman quarterback. We haven't seen him put together 2-3 years in a row of consistent play. So, you know, I still think Denver could be looking at one of those guys. I don't think there's any question about it. But, you know, they still have enough pieces on defense. Now, they lost Aqib Talib in the trade with the Rams, and that, to me, is a significant blow. But, you know, John Elway worked to get that team better in the trenches. They ran the ball a little better last year. You know, I'll go back to Minnesota because of Case Keenum. One of the reasons I think he was successful last year, Sean, was the balance of the Minnesota offense. They went from dead last in the league in rushing to seventh. And that was a team that continued to run the football even after Dalvin Cook went down. They're going to need to continually run the football in Denver if they're going to be successful. And I think Case Keenum would play action passing and Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. They could be very, very potent. I will say this, though. The rest of the division is certainly no slouch.
No, that's true. Does it surprise you that teams continue to give Sam Bradford $15, $20 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, well, because of the fact of his inability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's funny because you will recall 2010 when he made a boatload of money because that was the first, I should say, the last year before they started kind of doing the slotted system with the rookies. I mean, he had a big six-year contract, what, the $70-plus million?
Mm-hmm.
He was rookie of the year that year. He started all 16 games. He missed a few his second year. He started all 16 games in his third year, but he's been unable to stay consistently healthy. You know, we saw what happened to him. This whole show is turning into Minnesota. It's all circling back to the Minnesota Vikings. we saw that he was the opening day starter when they beat up the Saints on Monday Night Football. But, yeah, of course, he couldn't stay healthy, and Keenum came in and so on. Yeah, it does surprise me. Not that he's a bad guy or not effective when he plays, but the lack of playing time is kind of the mystery here.
Yeah, I agree. Russell Baxter joining me on CBS Sports Radio. I promise you there will be no Minnesota element in this answer, Russell. Of the quarterbacks that are being talked about at or near the top of the draft, I think there's four that generally kind of are, you know, kind of inside the velvet rope, so to speak, and everybody else is on the outside looking in. Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and Mayfield. Which one do you think 3 or 4 years from now we're going to say that's the best guy?
I think it's going to wind up being Sam Darnold. I mean, I think with Josh Allen maybe second, because I think it's just a matter of him kind of developing and getting used to caliber of play and so on, compared to the other guys, to be honest with you. And, you know, listen, it's depend, and a lot also depends on where they wind up, Sean.
Right.
Do they wind up where they have to carry the load, or do they wind up where they're part of an effective offense? You know, I know we get still very, very quarterback centric in the NFL and so on. And I think we have learned, or at least I think we've learned, it's not all about the quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's probably no better example of that than this past year's Super Bowl, when Tom Brady, who led the NFL in passing yards, and by the way, make it 52 years out of 52 Super Bowls, that no man who has led the league in passing yards has won the Super Bowl the same season.
Hmm.
Throws for over 500 yards in the Super Bowl, and they still wind up losing because they have deficiencies on defense. So depending on where these four guys wind up, and to me it'll be interesting that the Jets grab one of them. A little case in point here, the Jets have not drafted any kind of offensive player. And I'm talking about wide receiver, tight end, running back, offensive lineman, quarterback. They haven't drafted one of those guys in the first round since Mark Sanchez in 2009.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, we're not talking about a quarterback drought. We're talking about an offensive drought. I mean, to me, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and it's not like their defense has been just totally lights out over that period of time. It's been good here and there, but wow, that's an interesting factoid. So let me just to follow up on that, Russell, if Darnold is the guy that you would say, okay, well, you know, I'm cautiously betting that it'll be Darnold. It looks like Darnold is going to go number one to Cleveland. At least that's which way the wind appears to be blowing right now. Is Cleveland still the death trap for quarterbacks in your mind that it used to be? Or have some of these moves that they've made and some of the draft capital that they have, are things changing in Cleveland if you're a franchise or potential franchise quarterback?
I like the moves that John Dorsey has made. Okay. He went in and got, not a spectacular quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, but a guy who takes care of the football. Now, some people say, well, they didn't throw the ball a lot in Buffalo. That's why he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But you're taking over a team that last year – now, Sean, I've been watching football for a long time. I know you go back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, even to a degree the 90s, when turnovers were a lot more
prevalent, yeah.
The ball. Right,
sure.
You don't see that as much last year. So when you see a team in this day and age turn over the ball 41 times in 16 games, that is alarming. Oh, and
it's a disaster, yeah.
28 of those this past year. Okay, yeah. Tyrod Taylor in the 3 years he was in Buffalo didn't even come close to a combined 28 turnovers. So he got a high-volume receiver in Jarvis Landry. Okay, they still have a respectable offensive line. I think the thing that John Dorsey's looking to do is groom a young quarterback, but do it with behind a guy who is not going to cost his team games.
Yeah, Russell, my opinion, I think there's a good chance that Tyrod Taylor, once they're done drafting in Cleveland and done spending, you know, maybe some more money, mm-hmm, in free agency or whatever, I think you could look at the roster that he has around him in Cleveland to start the season and compare it to the one that made the playoffs in Buffalo, and he might be on a better team talent-wise heading into this season than he was on a team he took to the playoffs last year. Do you agree with that?
I mean, you know, yeah, and I think he's in a position where he knows eventually he's going to be succeeded sooner than later.
Yep.
And the one thing that's always impressed me about Tyrod Taylor is the way he has handled things. I mean, my goodness, last year he gets benched for a rookie who throws five picks in one half of football. And yet that team rebounded and still made the playoffs. Think of the disaster in the middle of the year last year that the Buffalo Bills were, and they still managed to gather themselves and get into the postseason for the first time this century.
Yep, no question. Russell Baxter joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, I got a couple more things I want to make sure I get in with you before we're done, Russell. What do you think of the new catch rule that they penned at the owners' meeting this past week?
Well, I'm okay with it, but I know there'll be a curveball. I think the over-under is week three, where we're going to see something that is, that there's going to be controversy and so on. It's the same thing with the helmet rules and so on. That I want to see enforced. I remember a couple of years ago, we had the running back lower the head rule. I never saw it called in all that time. But the catch rule, I mean, it's simplified. Of course, now you know, I don't have to tell you, all over social media, games from 5 and 10 years ago are now being replayed, you know, from Calvin Johnson to Des Bryant to Jesse yeah. James and so on. But, I mean, at one time or another, there is going to be a wrinkle, okay? And I just think they've got to do the best can. But, you know, overthinking what a catch has been a preoccupation now for almost 10 years. And the fact that we're still talking about it is a little disappointing.
Last thing before I let you go, do you think Bill Belichick has the stomach to trade Rob Gronkowski this offseason, or is this just a lot of noise coming out of New England?
I don't think it's necessarily noise, but I'll see it. When I see it, I'll believe it. And, yeah. you know, I think what it has done, though, has shown that, you know, I know, listen, I don't know Seth Wickersham personally. I know he took his share of guff for the piece he wrote last year. And I think between all these little things you have seen and even some of the statements from Robert Kraft and so on, that there has been a little bit of disharmony, for lack of a better word, in the organization. And that's understandably so. I mean, these guys have been together almost 20 years, and what they've carved has been unbelievable. And, you know, you look at what happened with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, and then you look at Gronk in the offseason. It's funny because you know this. He would be a great tight end if he could stay healthy. Well,
right.
Gronk kind of hurts himself. It's not like he's, you know, his off-season regimen is pretty strict. Are we fair in saying that?
I think Gronk gets his work in. I mean, his play is easy to...
I'm not saying he doesn't work. Don't get me wrong and so on. But what I'm saying is I think I can understand where he has his critics.
Yes.
At the same time, and so on. I mean, my goodness, on the field, my God, it's a combination between Kellen Winslow and Mark Barbaro.
Yes.
You know, you've never seen anything like it. But I can understand where nerves may get frayed. And listen, they're coming off a Super Bowl loss. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. I'm sure there's a little tension in the building. They've lost some key people, Butler, yeah. Deion Lewis, Nate Solder. So, you know, times might be a change. And let's face it, their defense didn't answer the bell last year. I know they got better in the midseason. I'll leave you with this stat, which I find remarkable. Opening day against the Kansas City Chiefs, that team gave up 42 points and 537 total yards. Against the Eagles, they gave up 41 points and 538 total yards.
That's some symmetry right there is what we call that, Russell. That's great. I know you can always count on.
And by the way, an Andy Reid offense and a Doug Peterson offense.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's mirror images of each other right there. I know I can always count on Russell Baxter for a couple great factoids each interview when we do that. Russell Baxter at Bax Football Guru is where you can find him on Twitter. Russell, really appreciate the insight as always. Happy Easter to you and yours, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.